You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. In May 2014, the video game company Ubisoft released Watch Dogs about a vigilante hacker. Here's how the game's described on their website. You play as Aiden Pierce, a brilliant hacker and former thug whose criminal past led to a violent family tragedy. While seeking justice for those events, you'll monitor and hack those around you. It sold over 4 million copies in its first week of release. The music for the game was made by Brian Reitzel, who played drums in the bands Air and Red Cross before becoming a composer and music supervisor for films like Lost in Translation and Beginners. He also creates the music for the NBC TV show Hannibal. Coming up, Brian talks about the unique challenges posed by scoring video games, where players control what happens on screen and as a result what happens in the music. He'll break down a piece called Donovan, which he wrote for a chase sequence within the game. He'll also describe the instrument that he created from a 100-year-old piano. This episode is presented in conjunction with Polygon.
My name is Brian Reitzel, and I am a film and TV and sometimes video game composer. I was asked by Ubisoft. They had an idea to approach their video game like a film. They were looking for a film guy instead of a video game guy. I'm not really sure they knew what they were going to get from me, but I had done a video game previously called Red Faction Armageddon, and that was quite a challenge for me. It was my first video game. I didn't understand what I was doing, but I had the confidence after I did that one. And I really like doing video games because it's a completely different thing than doing a score for a film or a TV show or any other thing that I've had to make music for. This piece of music that we have up, the Donovan chase loop, it was a car chase, and you know, Aiden gets into a car. They would give me a work order, and the work order would say Donovan chase loop, 2 minutes. And then you would take those 2 minutes and you would break that down as much as possible into as many different loops that you could. You try to do things so that it never sounds like it's looping. And that is the biggest challenge with working on a video game, is to make music that is A, modular, and B, is something that feels like it isn't modular, like this living, breathing, moving piece of music that is also scoring what you're doing, even though that's really an impossible feat. So you have to keep a layer of ambiguity to it. You know, you kind of hit the broad stroke tension. He's in a car, you know. So you make exciting things and you try to be as compelling as you can, I guess. They were interested in doing a very electronic score. The game also takes place in the near future, you know, so to put a spin on it, I told them that I would do it, but I was actually more interested in doing it like the sort of orchestrations that were in those early Tangerine Dream records, like Zeit and Phaedra. Analog arpeggiators and you know, sequencers and things. So I started like that and then did a delivery or two, and then it completely changed because, you know, it just felt like it needed to be its own thing. And that meant it being a hybrid of the analog synths, but also with more orchestral percussion, you know, other things that might be unique to its sound. Oftentimes for me, with video game music, it's propulsive. It's very rhythmic because I'm a drummer. I programmed parts on the machine drum. It's a Swedish drum machine. But instead of using the sound of it, like kick, snare, hi-hat, I'm actually using it to play the keys on a keyboard. But I'm using drum patterns. Instead of the kick drum being a kick drum, in this case it would be a C or a D or whatever, and then your snare drum is playing a fifth or vice versa, or a fourth or whatever. You just kind of make all these really interesting intervals using the 16 rhythmic steps of the pattern. And then I'll just change from different patterns, and then you'll get something like this. So that's just the one stem. And then everything was built on top of that. So I played along to that with the bell rhythm. There's a guy in Scandinavia, I think in Norway, that makes these really great wooden rods. And I collect them, and they're all different. They're different kinds of wood. They're different, you know. And I use those on metal, which gives it kind of a nice industrial feel that sits really well with synthesizers, but a human's playing it. So I would play that, and mostly what you're getting from that is the human dynamics, the different accents played by a human. So we can then use that track to have its dynamics sent to a modular synthesizer to trigger the synthesizer. Essentially just adding another percussion instrument to it, because it's being triggered by my performance. It's automatic in time. I played real kick and snare and hi-hat to this, and then cut them apart. I've essentially sampled myself. I don't think you should ever really do that if you're making a Neil Young song or, you know, song. But in this case, it's more percussive than it is like rock drums. The hi-hat for me is one of the most boring things. Often drummers play it only because they can't play the drums without it. And I find that to be really boring. So I need to change it up, or I need to take it out or whatever. So I will often have lots of things doing that motion. There's a shaker as well. It adds a nice color. A shaker is a really good glue. I will usually play them close to last and just listen to everything else, and it makes the whole thing just feel good. I do love electronic drum machine shakers and stuff like that, but for this case, trying to make people not feel like something's looped, all that kind of stuff you can play on top of it helps it feel alive. I give them the ammunition so they can program it however they want. If they wanted to, they can, the minute a door is shut, for example, you could cut out everything except this stem or these four stems or however they want to program it, and as deep as they want to program it. I give it to them so they could really be sophisticated with that. But this is modular music, man. This is, you know, this is a very different kind of music. It's more like being a line cook in a restaurant, where you have prepped up all of your things, you've done your research, you know what instruments you're going to use, you know what the sound of this thing is. This was meant to add an element of fear, of danger, of tension. And I'm doing it by bowing some bronze cymbals. It makes that kind of elephant sound because I'm bending it as I'm bowing it. I found using bronze instruments and bowing it to pull the harmonics out of it and pull all those weird overtones out of it. It sounds like just a really scary brass section. I took the part that I had recorded with the machine drum and then distorted the crap out of it. But we also did something I rarely ever do that's pretty trendy these days, which was to sidechain. Do things like that, but it seemed to really fit, and it gives it a nice kind of sucking feeling. So it sounds a lot. there's the bowed piano. This is an instrument that I created several years back where I took my 100-year-old piano and bowed the strings. And I made my own orchestra because I was working on an indie movie that didn't have the budget for a proper orchestra, yet it needed to have a orchestra. It needed strings. I just recorded a piano with two microphones. I used horsehair to bow the strings. I did each note on my piano, everyone I could reach. It's an upright piano, so I couldn't reach the real high strings. It was a very long process that I did. What happens with the piano, because you know, with the piano, you've got the three strings you're bowing. As the sound decays, you hear all the lovely harmonics, the way they unfold. And it's really interesting. Once you start stacking those on top of each other, you get this really rich, beautiful, sustained notes. I'm not sitting down and doing this with pen and paper, more like sonically sculpting. Well, in the case of this music, a lot of the melody is meant to be found by the person that's listening to it. I'm not trying to cram a melody down anyone's throat. I'm trying to give them actually a whole lot of options. And that's one of the things that I like about the bowed piano and about writing music in this way for this kind of a medium is that it allows it to be so melodic without it being really crammed down your throat. And then you get this really rich, harmonically dense music. And once you stack up those chords and those different timbres together, the melodies kind of come out. Time-wise, it's quite interesting because if you're going to keep hearing the melody the same way, even if I subdivide it 8 or 10 different ways, you know, I modulate, I do this, it's still going to be that same thing. But by creating a lot of ghost melodies and things in the music, I mean, you don't ever really hear it the same way twice. In terms of letting go of music, video game is the hardest because you don't know if it works because you can't see it. You're not in that moment and there's no way for you to know. It can be really difficult. I'm a guy that came from the world of being in bands and making music to listen to. And this is a completely different job, though it's really important to me that if you extract the music from the game and just listen to it, that it's really, really cool. And to do both is tricky, but that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to keep yourself happy, because it really is challenging to work in this way, and it's fun.
All the sections and various permutations that were created for the Donovan Chase loop were edited and arranged to create one linear piece of music for the soundtrack album. And so now, here's that version of Donovan by Brian Reitzel from Watch Dogs. Thank you. Visit songexploder.net or polygon.com for more information about Watch Dogs and Brian Reitzel, including a link to buy the soundtrack. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Song Exploder. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, story-driven shows. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. My name is Rishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia.